Seems like the coast is clear now.
And good evening, afternoon, morning, amateur radio. This is the Science and Tech Map. It's held each Saturday at 9 p.m. my local time here in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, 0100 GMT. The Net Coordination Station Nights meeting, VH3KX, and Ken, I'll be operating as the net control for this evening's net from my home in South Etobicoke, Ontario, Canada. This net's a forum to provide members a means to discuss science technology, perhaps become familiar with the radios, net procedures, distribute information, and help get new amateur radio operators on the air. This is initially a check-in net. In the initial call, if you're any amateur stations listening, I would like to participate, but feel free to come in at any time and hear a break. And when checking in, please give your call sign slowly, a first name, general location where transmitting from, and if there are any questions or comments or announcements, just let me know when you're checking in. And, of course, new amateur operators are encouraged to join us. And now, if there are any stations out there, if you'd like to join us, come on in.
Whiskey Niner Echo Alpha Alpha. Whiskey Niner Echo Alpha Alpha. Marty, Davenport, Iowa.
VE3LPP, Victor Echo 3, Lima Tango, Papa, Larry at Bathurst and St. Clair in Toronto.
KB3JQQ near Baltimore, where I haven't been swept away or flooded out. KB3JQQ. Says, Hello, Bravo 2, Foxtrot Alpha, Carl in New Jersey.
Kilo Oscar 4, Delta Tre Quebec, KO4, EXQ, Bob in Tennessee.
Victor Echo 3, Alpha, Juliet Fox.
Victor Echo 3, Juliet Richard Kilo.
Victor Echo 3, Romeo Zulu Oscar, Reno in Toronto.
Victor Echo 3, Oscar Papa, Adam in Mississauga.
KI5UIN. June, Yankee November, Jason, South Central, Texas.
All right, hold it here for a second or two. Just go through the list. I think I got them all. W9EAA, V3LT, KV3JQQ, KV2FA, KO4DXQ, VA3AGF, VA3JWK, VA3RZO, VA3YV, VI5ZYN. Any additional stations? Come on in.
Victor Echo 3, Whiskey Bravo Zulu, William Scarborough.
Victor Echo 7, Lima Oscar Golf, Mike and Chapman, British Columbia.
And Victor Alpha 3, India Alpha Hotel, it's Alan in Ottawa.
Mike 7, Lima Romeo Kilo, this is Luke in London, UK.
Okay, so hold it right there, Luke. Could you come in one more time with your call sign, please?
Yes, it's Mike 7, Lima Romeo Kilo.
Perfect, I got you that time. And I think there was a double when you were coming in. If there's a station there, if you're trying to come in a moment or so ago, I'd like to try again.
The station that's bouncing is back.
And Frederick, I got you there. There was some bacon frying on your signal, but I managed to get you, got you logged in. And there was another station, there was a VE7, Mike, and I didn't catch the last of your call sign.
Victor Echo 7, Lima Oscar Golf.
All right, got it that time around.
Victor Echo 7, Golf, CRS, India.
In that station, if you come one more time, I think I heard a VE7, I'm not quite sure. Your audio was low and there's some static there on your transmission. If you try again.
Victor Echo 7, Sierra, India. George,
Victor Echo 3, Romeo Whiskey, Juliet, Chris in Ancaster.
And Chris, I've got you in there, and George in BC, I've got you, I believe I've got you, V7, FSI, I think it was. And Chris, I've got you.
V7, Golf,
Okay, I got it that time. I was off by one letter there on your suffix. Okay, I've got you in. I'll make another call here for a few more stations, and I'll pause. I'll go through the list of topics for tonight. And as soon as I'm done with that, I'll make another call for any additional stations. And then right after that, we'll start with the net tonight. Tom usually does the climate update. He won't be here tonight. He's away. I don't know if he'll be back next week, but I believe he'll be back the week after. Any additional stations? Come on in. And I'll go through the topics here, and starting with the two that are here each week, the first one in the sky this week in the Science Trivia Corner. After that, the main topic, there's a huge object that's now been spotted at the edge of our solar system, and Archaeopteryx fossil, it's the link between the birds and the and dinosaurs, the first flying dinosaur, or you could call it the first flying bird, was discovered, and it had something remarkable about the discovery. Some soft tissue had been found with it. Extraterrestrial life and how scientists are looking for it. Megaconstellation radiation is interfering with radio astronomy. A 100-year-old U.S. submarine was found intact. OpenAI 004 was just recently, they were doing an experiment on that, and they found that part of the experiment was to get it to shut down as it was running through one of its programs, and it refused. A little bit more about that. NASA plans a giant telescope to be placed on the moon. A new COVID-19 strain has been found. And a Cooper's Hawk, Chris, you sent that in, BE3RWJ. Cooper's Hawk was using a crosswalk signal to hunt. And this is another example of animal intelligence and reasoning power. And a lot of research is going into this now. And as I said on some of the prior nets, that it seems that the distinction between what classifies us as human, the qualities we have as human, seem to be spilling over into other animals now. We're paying more attention to them. And next one, Jupiter shrinking and causing cell death. Huge implications with that, referred to as necrosis. Just dropping. And not so long ago, I brought up the topic of the dire wolf. Colossal Biosciences, they're a bioscience company that's looking into bringing back from extinction some of these animals, woolly mammoth, woolly rhinoceros, and a few others. The dodo's in there too, I think. And recently they made a proclamation that brought back the dire wolf. And that's been some contentious research, and we'll be talking about that in a little bit too. It's not quite what it seems. And that's it for the topics for tonight. And if there are any additional stations out there, if you'd like to join us, come on in, then we'll start things off. Well, then we'll start things off here for this evening. Just before we do, this is VHVCast, Ken here, Science and TechNet. We're here each Saturday evening, 9 p.m. my local time, which is 0100 GMT. And I'm just going to start the very beginning of the net, and then right after this, I'll stop for some additional check-ins, and then we'll continue on with things. For today, solar wind. I always start off a little bit of solar information, HF propagation, something on asteroids and space debris. Solar wind, 696 kilometers a second, and that is above. That is above the threshold which would indicate a geostorm activity. 500 kilometers a second is the cutoff limit for that. So over that by 196 kilometers a second. Proton density wasn't huge, 3.11 protons per cubic centimeter, so let's just say 3. Solar flux index 157, and sunspots 107, just dropping. And there's a sunspot in the sky this week. I'll be getting into that in a moment, but there's a sunspot there that I've isolated to talk a little bit about. It's been rather unique. But anyways, we had 107 sunspots, and the clusters we had, AR 4092, 96, 99, we had AR 4100, 101, 104, and it seems AR 4100, it's still an X-class solar flare threat, so it's still capable of doing some interesting things over the next little while. So it hasn't gone quiet yet. Just dropping. And HF propagation, well, 18, 40 meters, poor during the day, fair at night right now, 30 and 20, good both day and night, 17, 15, the same, good both day and night, 12 and 10, good during the day and poor at night. And spacing, each week I give a little bit of information about this, but more about this tonight. I'll be talking a little bit later on more about this, which the space debris is basically, most of this is just satellites that are up there. Some of this is rocket bodies. Other parts of this is debris left over from collisions. But an awful lot of it is just satellites that have been left up there ready to come down. But I'll be talking more about that tonight too. We may have reached, or getting very close to an inflection point, the number of satellites up in low Earth orbit and how much more can be sustained. But anyways, 30,052 objects were tracked globally today. Dropping. These all tended to be larger objects, and I'll use my location for some context, 2043. And if you've been following the net over the last little while, you'll see that the numbers of debris that's up there is gradually going up week after week. Not by a huge amount, but it is going up. And asteroids, always include these. These are near-Earth objects. They're just far enough away that we keep an eye on them, and none of them are to be classed as potentially hazardous objects. Those that are maybe got a good chance of hitting us, these aren't. These just come within our orbital plane around the sun, so we just keep an eye on them. I always pick a few that are the closest to the time that is happening. So May 31st, 2025, we had 2025 KZ3. 1.8 lunar distances away. Dropping. And that's just the distance the moon is away from us. That's how it's measured. So 1.8 times that, 2.6 kilometers a second and 8 meters in diameter. Very small. Wouldn't make it through the atmosphere. Probably be an airburst long before it hit the ground. And again, we also have May 31st. We'll have 2025 KE4. And that one's zipping along at about 2.7 or 3.6 kilometers a second, 2.7 lunar distances away, and 5 meters in diameter. That one has even less chance of making it to the ground than the previous one. So dropping again. And there's a CME, and it's on its way to Earth. We're in a direct line of fire of it. And it's likely that it hit us on the 1st of June. So that's coming up very soon. That's tomorrow. And it may produce a severe G4 geostorm. So auroras are more likely to be seen right across Europe and much of North America. I haven't checked the aurora data on that. I'll have to look at it later to see just how far down it's coming in North America. But it will go into the U.S. And it's not as big as the May, it won't be as big as the May 2024 solar storm, but it's still a really big one, at least for this year. It's probably one of the biggest, if maybe not the biggest, we'll be getting for 2025, but we don't know yet. We're not anywhere through with all the solar activities going on right now.
Hey, Ken, I was just looking at my ham clock, and it has the D-RAP thing, the D-region absorption prediction, and it shows both polar regions are in the red. It's a 35 megahertz absorption, KB3JQQ.
Okay, thanks, Scott.
Thank you. You're welcome, and someone else doubled with you.
The CE3 MSS.
Hey, good evening, Mario. CE3 MSS.
Thank you very much, Ken. Much appreciated. I just wanted to say hello. I didn't know that there was some activity. This cave is being a dead over.
Hey, Marius, you're sounding good there tonight. You're coming in crystal clear.
It took you a while, but That's okay. I'm only putting out 10 watts at this time. I just wanted to make sure it's the radio still working. Or?
Yeah, your 10 watts is getting into the repeater, and your radio is working just perfect for you.
Today, that also your radio is working fine. Back to you, over.
Okay, thank you, Maris, and we'll pick up with you again in a little bit. You feel free to come in on the net anytime. We'll be here for about another couple hours anyway, so if you want to come in, we'll be here. But your radio is working great there for you.
Your radio is also working too well, as I like to thank you so much. And next Sunday, which is easy to do, I'm going to turn into not necessarily a pumpkin, but I'm going to be 79 years of age. That's going to be my birthday. Or?
So I think you said not this Sunday, but the following Sunday, you're going to be hitting 79. And I'll be talking to you before then, but if not, happy birthday, but I'll be talking to you long before then.
Spread the word if you want to. I don't care.
Question.
All right, and we'll move on here. In the sky this week, another sunspot, and this is an unusual one. It's considered a grandfather sunspot because of how long it's lasting here. It's a giant sunspot. It's making its third trip around the sun. It's on the other side now. It's on the other side facing us, but it's making its third trip around. And this one, it's lasted longer than a lot of the other sunspots and may break a century record. It's AR14100, and it's on the southern northern hemisphere, just above the equator. And it was first seen April 5th, and it came back on, April 28th, and then it came around on May 26th. And it's about 87,000 miles, so 140,000 kilometers across, and that's about 11 times the diameter of Earth. And at one point, it was the largest sunspot of 2025. It's now about half its size. And and most of these only last about a week. And it doesn't seem to be in any hurry to disappear. But so far, it's erupted several flares. If it survives for two or three more months, it will have broken a longevity record. So it's still there, and it doesn't seem to be going away anytime soon. All right, so that's in the sky this week. I'll just pause here so if there are any comments or check-ins, and after that we'll go into the science trivia corner. Right after that, we'll head into the main topics for tonight.
The E3GFM.
VK3HJ2. Morning, Ken.
The E3DDR. Victor Echo 3, Delta, Delta Romeo.
E3 MSS, recheck.
Alpha 1, Echo Alpha Whiskey, got a question?
And I got there, VE3GFX and VE3HJQ. John, hello John, good to hear you. VE3DDR, and then I had David, WA1EAW. Well, one sec, David. Marius, VE3MSS.
Thank you everybody. I just want to make sure that the radio is working, and everyone else that sounded good. So every one of you that you notified, I'm an old guy and I get very, very excited. Anyways, take care and God bless.
Be clear. 73, Marius, you have a good night. We'll talk to you a little later. Probably hear you tomorrow at some point on either the morning net or the evening net. All right, bye for now, Marius. And we have V3GFX, VK3HJQ, V3DDR, and David, WA1EAW. David?
Roger, Ken. I was curious about the I have a question regarding the solar activity. There's a lot of different indexes and different ways you can use the information. Have you ever heard of anything that is in the region of predicting EMP? In other words, as a prediction scale. Back to you.
This is VA3KX. Prediction scale for what? I think you said CME, I think you were saying. Certain predictions can be made from the number of sunspots and the intensity of the sunspots. But as far as predicting on a level where the CMEs, I mean, of course, the CMEs, once they erupt, yes, they're on a specific level. But as far as predicting on a, I think, some sort of linear scale, when they're going to happen, if they're going to happen, that sort of thing, no, they're pretty hard to predict.
Okay, thank you.
And this is VA3KX. Now, if you look at some of the indices, that can give you some pretty good give you a pretty good idea of what you might expect. Even those can change from day to day. Even I was looking at some of the indices today, and you can see even from hour to hour they jump up and down, et cetera, et cetera. So, it just depends when you're looking at them. Just dropping again. And what makes things somewhat unpredictable with these events? I mean, it's getting more sophisticated now in how they're able to discern what's going on with the sun, but there's still a lot of unknowns. Like sunspots, for instance, they're just changes. They're just changes in the sun's magnetic field. And rotation of the sun, if you look at the rotation of the sun, it's faster at the equator than further north or south going towards the pole. So magnetic field lines, they get increasingly wound up. And the field stretches, the magnetic field stretches between the poles. So it's you're getting a rotational speed faster at the equator than you are at the pole. So that's giving this twisting effect of the magnetic field lines just dropping. And this stretching, it produces tunnels in this field. And you have loops rise and they break at the surface. And when they break the surface, they stop convection. They stop the convection of some of the superheated gas from below. And you get a temperature difference there, and this is what you get from the sunspots when they occur. And when the fields become too tangled, at some point they snap, and you get a flare. And you get a flare produced. And if you get even more intensity, more entanglement, you'll end up getting an even greater snap. You get the magnetic recombination, which is a very explosive event. And then it gives birth to a CME. And that's a little bit different than a solar flare, in that solar flare is just releasing radiation, whereas a CME is actually breaking off portions of the sun's surface. You get a bunch of particles and other things coming off the sun, as well as magnetic fields, et cetera, hitting, coming our way. So a lot of things there that make it hard to predict with certainty. And this is VA3KX, Ken here, Science and TechNet, for this Saturday evening in my home location here, Toronto, Ontario, Canada. And if you'd like to join us, have a comment, come on in. And then after this, the Science Trivia Corner. And for those of you unfamiliar with it, it's a two-part. And it's basically all trivia, but I take a little bit of trivia and make it into a quiz. And it's not a case where I'm asking a question and I'm expecting a right answer. It's just a way of putting some trivia into a more fun context. But there's a little quiz, and then there's just some straight trivia. I think we've got one or two straight trivia things for tonight. Before we get in there, if you'd like to join us, come on in.
Victor, the Kilo, Delta Yankee, Robert in Sydney, checking in.
V3, Victor, Romeo X-ray, that's a V3, VRX, Dave. In Toronto. Victor Echo 3, Zulu Victor X-ray, Tim here in Scarborough.
VA3, PLJ.
And it was VK2DY. Robert, good to hear you. VE3VRX, Dave, and VE3ZBX, Tim, and VA3PLJ, Jason.
November 2, Mike, Juliet, Zulu, Fred.
And Fred, I've got you in. Thanks for joining us.
VE3KDC.
Omar, I've got you there as well. And let's start the quiz for tonight. And Chris, VE3RWJ, you sent something. You sent a couple in. This one here I used as a part of the trivia. And I made it as a quiz. I could have added it as just a straight trivia, but I'm putting it as a quiz question. The first one here. What causes the sound when you clap your hands? So when you're clapping your hands, what's causing that sound?
The compression of the air between your hands when they hit KB3JQQ, is my guess.
And I got that in there from you about compression of air between your hands. Anyone else like to try? What causes the sound when you clap your hands? And this one it is. It's basically compression of air between the hands. It forms what's referred to as a Helmholtz resonator. And it's an interesting way it happens. But basically what it's doing is you're clapping your hands, produces a jet of air that oscillates as it's coming up between your hands. And it's something like in a way of you blow across a bottle, and that's an example there of a Helmholtz resonator just dropping. And when you do that, you get that kind of low pitch sound coming out. And what's happening there is that you're blowing in across the bottle. It compresses the air in the bottle, causes it to compress down. As it compresses down, the pressure of it causes it to expand. It expands upward abruptly and comes out of the bottle. And as it does, it leaves a rarefied amount of air in the bottle at that point. And so the bottle drags in more air from the outside. And as it's doing this, it's producing a vibration. And as it goes back into the bottle again, it produces this kind of a springy action on the air. It's causing the air to bob up and down inside the bottle, which is producing the sound wave. So it all happens very, very quickly. But compression of air between the hands. The next one here, what is the referred to as the golden record?
Hate to monopolize the thing, but is that the one that's attached to Voyager 1 and 2, KB3JQQ?
All right, I got that. You said it's on Voyager 1 and 2. Anyone else take a chance to try this? What is the golden record?
Well, it could be a couple of things.
Sorry.
It could be the millionth record that was produced by an album or, you know, a single. It could also be the amount of gold that's been taken out of the earth and refined, you know, totals, either for all the gold or whatever. But anyway, that's my or an accounting of the gold in somebody's Federal Reserve Bank. Back to Net.
Okay, got that, David. So maybe that millionth record of an album, something like that. Any amount of gold taken from the earth. That would be an interesting thing to look up. How much gold has been actually taken from the earth if they have limits on that, the volume of gold. That would be an interesting thing. Glad you brought that up. Anyone else? The golden record, what is it?
One more suggestion. The golden record could be the daily newspaper or weekly newspaper in Golden, Colorado.
gold was created supernova explosions.
And this is EA3KX. Yeah, that's it. All the precious metals, gold, platinum, all that, all originated from supernovas. And there's some other ways it was produced in space too, but generally speaking, it was from supernova explosions. And this one here, the golden record, yeah, NASA has placed one golden record on each of the Voyager 1 and Voyager 2. And they both contained images of things on Earth, like sounds, images, things that define what Earth is and what we are. So they did that in the hopes of if any intelligent species out there ever came across either Voyager 1 or Voyager 2, at least they would have a good idea that there's life out there somewhere if they haven't already discovered it. The next one here, take a guess. I should have put this as just straight trivia, but how much of the ocean, how much of the deep oceans do you think have been explored?
10%? JQQ again.
DE3DDR, I would say 3%.
KC5, MON, I'd say 5%.
And I'm going to say just a few percent, V3RWJ.
And this is VH3K. So it went from 10%, I think that was 3%, 5%, and a few percent. Actually, it's minuscule. It's 0.001% of the deep ocean. So that's less than the area. Frozen Canada here, but that's less than the entire area on Manitoulin Island and Lake Huron, or smaller than, let's say, even Rhode Island. So it's a very, very, very small amount that we actually know. And by definition, talking about deep ocean, we're referring to deep ocean, anything below 656 feet, so about 200 meters. So 656 feet down, below that in 200 meters, so very, very little. There's some reports were coming up even this week that they've discovered a couple of unknown life forms, types of fish down there never been seen by science before. So lots of things down there we don't know yet. We know probably more about Mars right now than we do about our oceans. And the next one here, just drop it. And the last one here, does light lose energy as it travels through space?
I believe it's the inverse square law, AB3JQQ.
I would say no, because it's in a vacuum.
Here, it has maybe two answers depending on how you want to look at it. Over small distances, it really doesn't. As long as it's not colliding with something, and photons hit things, they lose momentum and energy. So over smaller distances, not so much. But over long distances, over huge distances in space, it does. Doppler redshifting, then you have blue shifting. But as everything's expanding, And the sources of light are getting pulled further and further away. And that means as they're getting pulled further and further away, light is getting stretched along with it as it's traveling. And the different frequencies of light correspond to the energy levels of the light. So things like have lower energy levels because they're longer wavelength as opposed to the blue. So they lose energy. Not the speed. The speed stays the same, but loses a little bit of energy. Also lose energy when they're trying to through gravitational wells, like the gravity produced by black holes, or getting around huge objects, we'll lose some energy doing that too. And that's it. That's it for the quiz portion. And the last little bit, just a little bit of trivia. Just I think two things here for trivia. And a bit more on this as I get on with the net about satellites and low Earth orbit capacity for satellites. It's the capacity for that, just before it hits an inflection point, is around 100,000. So about 100,000 satellites. So that's referred to as like a carrying capacity. And past this limit, satellites will start constantly crashing into each other and start falling back to Earth. So low Earth orbit is considered about 1,200 miles or 2,000 kilometers above the Earth. So once you get up 100,000 or more of satellites up there, that's when you start exceeding the carrying capacity and you start getting collisions. From collisions, you end up getting what's referred to as Kessler syndrome, when these objects are slamming into each other, these satellites are slamming into each other, producing more debris up there, and causing more of a cloud of this pollution of material circling the Earth. Just stopping. And Tom was just recently, for DH3VWX, he was giving a presentation a week back about the volcanoes, Mount St. Helens, which I thought was a good presentation. I liked that immensely. And the in addition to that, for this week, just a small thing here, some research that just came up about volcanoes is showing that the closer a volcano gets to erupting, the greener trees around it appear from space, just dropping. And the reason for this, it's really kind of simple, is that before erupting, they emit a lot of CO2. They emit a lot of other things, too, carbon, sulfur dioxide, and a number of other things. But this CO2, as it's erupted from the volcanoes, it passes over the trees. And what do plants like taking in? Well, carbon dioxide. So this, this cloud of CO2 that's going over the trees, it enhances their health, and it produces a more vibrant green in their leaves. And from space, CO2 is difficult to detect from space, even with satellites. So by looking down and seeing the greenery and the increasing greenery near volcanoes, it's now given volcanologists a little bit more data on the timeline for an eruption. So this was a report that came out from NASA, the Earth Science Division of NASA, Ames Research Center in California. There's a station there. Come on in.
Hey, this is Vector 3, Oscar Foxtrot. I just wanted to add that one of the ways that NASA detects the increase in greenery isn't just by looking with optical satellites. They use microscopies. So most people do is to make sure that imagery produces correctly UV light.
That station there, audio was very, very low. You cut out there. I didn't catch much of that. I heard something about optical satellites, and that's what they'd be using for this this greenery. If you want to try again, come on in.
That's affirmative. This is Victor Alpha 3 Oscar Foxtrot Echo. How copy?
OFE. That time.
What I was saying was they don't just use the optical satellites. They use the satellites specifically looking for like the spectroscopic signature of chlorophyll as chlorophyll fluoresces under UV light.
And this is VA3KX. And yeah, thanks for that. And as I mentioned, it gives them another tool in their arsenal there for helping with the prediction of volcanoes. And yeah, thank you for coming in with that. And sorry about that, William, VH3WBZ. Yeah, I got you in earlier. I may have passed you by. Sorry about that. All right. See if there are any additional stations out there. Any other comments, come on in. And then we'll start in on the next one here, the main topics for tonight. And this is about our solar system. And for a while now, scientists are pretty certain there's a large object out there Planet 9. They've been trying to find Planet 9 for a very long time. But they also think now there's probably more than just one of these large objects out there. And they've think they've found one. They think they've identified one. They think they've spotted one. So we'll talk about this in a moment. Any additional stations? Come on in. Any comments? Come on in.
This is Kilo India 5, Sierra Bravo Golf, Lloyd in Galleria, no traffic.
This is, again, Victor Alpha 3, Oscar Foxtrot Echo. Comments about space. There is currently a massive a coronal mass ejection headed towards Earth. It's supposed to impact tomorrow and the next day. And this is caused by a moderate scale M-class flare. It flared for quite a while. And then another more powerful flare later on, which gave us a total of 3 plasma ejections, the third being a very high-speed one. Over.
And this is VA3 KX. Yeah, that's supposed to arrive on by tomorrow, and predictions are it may likely cause a severe G4 geostorm. And auroras, I'll have to check the aurora data a little later to see where the aurora oval is, how far down it's extending, but they're expecting it to be seen by over most of Europe and probably much of North America, at least down through the states past the past some of the northern states. So we might be getting a good aurora display by about tomorrow.
Let's hope for clear skies.
Yeah, it probably won't be as big as the one we had the storm we had back in 2024 in May, but it still might give us a light show. And at G4, just drop at G4. Once you get to a level of G4, you're looking at possible power systems disruption. Like could see some widespread full protection issues and could see some protective systems start to trip out at this point, just dropping. And even spacecraft, satellites, things like that, you may see some effects happening there. Get some surface charging happening, and even tracking problems could occur from that. And I don't know, I'm just assuming here that they probably have to make some considerations for corrections in its orientation of some of these satellites. And you get other systems too. You can get, even on Earth here, you can end up getting pipeline currents. Of course, it'll affect the amateur radio, particularly low-frequency radio stations and navigation can be affected by this as well. So we'll wait and see what happens. So it's not as bad as it could be, a G5, but at least a G4, it is significant enough.
This is in addition to Earth having been repeatedly
That was quite broken. Hey, Ken, I sent you a link to my ham clock. Don't share that link, but give you some very interesting stats. This is a DRAP max megahertz, 99.2 megahertz. I'm wondering about this. Really major stuff coming in. KB3JQQ.
Because there's been a very large hole in the sun's corona due to the magnetic field lines from that part of the sun not reconnecting to the sun, but just sort of going out into space and interacting with the magnetic fields of the planets. Earth has been repeatedly exposed to that high stream of plasma that gets carried out of the sun, which is why we see it as such a large sunspot. Over.
And this is VA3KEX. I caught some of that. There's a lot of noise on your signal there, a lot of baking frying. You mentioned, I think you're talking about the sunspot and why it's as dark as it is. There's a large dark sunspot there. And you're talking about magnetic field lines not reconnecting, or you mentioned something about breaking off and going into space. Breaking off and going to space, that's specific material coming off the sun, if it's doing that, which is in reference to a CME. Actual material is breaking off the sun, but that takes a lot of twisting of magnetic fields before that happens. Prior to that, you'll end up getting some tangling, which will cause a flare. A flare doesn't break off. There's sufficient tangling there to keep it flaring, but not enough to cause it to break off into space. As for the dark region on the sun, with the sunspots, and that's just basically because of field lines. They get increasingly wound up, and if they keep winding up, you end up with a flare, wind up even more, you end up with the CME, but they wind up enough. They wind up enough, and when this is happening, you have loops. You have these loops rising, and they break at the surface. They're not leaving in space, but they break at the surface. But when they break at the surface, it stops convection. It stops convection of superheated gas from below. So this is why you'll end up getting these sunspots that are looking dark, because now you have a reduction in temperature, and so therefore you'll have a sunspot. So it's just a matter of stopping the convection current, because these loops rise, they break at the surface, and the convection current stops with the superheated gas, and therefore you get a lowered temperature area in the sun, and you look up and you see a dark area, which is a sunspot.